I tend to get up early some mornings, very early, like before the sun has considered rising, and find that quiet spot in my chair to do some work most commonly. And it was about 2 months ago when I was up quite early, settled into my chair and doing the work I set out to do, when I heard a beep. At first, I thought I was imagining the beep, and about 5 minutes later, I heard a beep again, one single solitary beep at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I got up to check all of the appliances and devices. They all talk in our house. It wasn't the dishwasher, it wasn't the kitchen timer, it wasn't the laundry or the phone or one of the kids' Kindles going off. It wasn't somebody's alarm set. It wasn't our refrigerator. What could it be? I didn't hear it before when I went to bed, and I didn't hear it earlier in the day. It wasn't until later that morning I dutifully asked Steve, and I said, "What is that solitary beep every 5 minutes?" Apparently, if you have Fios and your battery goes down, it beeps once every 5 minutes to tell you to get a new battery. But in the busyness of every day, we never heard the beep. I, in the going about, didn't know there was a need for the Fios battery to be changed. It was only in the silence that I could quiet things enough to hear there was a need to be addressed. While our house was filled with children playing, you heard nothing. In the silence, you knew something needed to be addressed, even if you couldn't figure out what was beeping. It's not a mistake that in the silence, we often hear that which we pass by in the busyness of the everyday. I have a sense that many of us have a bit of a love-hate relationship with silence. In silence, we get a reprieve from the hustle and the bustle, the busyness, the chitter-chatter, the tide that keeps us going. But in silence, we also realize sometimes we're nervous or afraid. We feel lonely or anxious. In fact, I think many of us work hard to make sure it's not too quiet in our lives, in our hearts, and in our souls, so we don't know that pain. Just keep busy. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Why would we want the silence anyway? Silence is integral to our faith, our life, our relationship with Jesus. I want to show you why. It's in the silence that we can listen. When we're silent, we hear God speak. It's in the silence we remember that we need Jesus. The silence makes us honest to hear. In the silence, we can't dispute anymore. There's nothing to cover it up. about what we need and where we are. In the silence, we hear remarkable honesty about exactly where our lives are. Silence also makes space for us to have focus and to have clarity. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and fell asleep. Not just dozed off, slept through the storm kind of sleep. You and I tend to fall asleep when we have some peace, when we're not anxious or restless. When we feel that way, we toss and turn and wake up saying, I wish I got a better night's sleep. The disciples were tossing and turning. I could just imagine Jesus snoring in the midst of the crisis. There are a few things more unsettling when you need somebody and they're sleeping in the next room and you're not sure whether to wake them up or not. While Jesus was asleep here, fast forward a couple of weeks till when the disciples fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the silence of the moment when the disciples realize they need Jesus. The quiet of the moment when they realize they're going to perish without him. In fact, they call out, didn't you know we were perishing? Don't you know the world's falling apart? There are young moms who are struggling against cancer. There are children going to bed hungry at night. There are chronically ill people under the oppressive weight of health care. Didn't you know that we were perishing? In the midst of fear, we don't often think of silence. In fact, most of the time, I think we'd rather scream out in panic. We tend to think about working towards solutions and figuring it out the way we've been taught. It's possible our storm is not the sea. Our storm could very well be the conflict at work that we can't help but talk about with bitterness and resentment every time someone says, how's it going? Ugh, the bitterness comes out. The storm could be the way we wish our siblings got together and worked together in the midst of crisis instead of throwing darts at one another verbally. Our storms could be the health crisis that we wish were nowhere a part of the life that we're leading. In the silence, we say, he, even the wind and the waves, will obey. Frederick Buechner said this, Christ sleeps in the deepest selves of all of us, and whatever we do in the time we have left, wherever we go, we call on him, the way the fishermen did in their boat, to come awake within us and give us courage, to give us hope, to show us each one our way. May he, Jesus, be with us when the winds go mad and the waves run wild. For they will, for all of us, before we're done. So that even in their midst, we find peace. We find Christ. When we find moments of silence, we realize that while we think that Jesus has been sleeping in the storms of life, Jesus never left us alone. We just have to wake him up. We have to wake up the Jesus within us. In the moments of silence, we realize it's not Jesus who needs the focus and the clarity. It's us. Now, for some of us, we've always craved silence. Perhaps the introverts among us. It's not just a modern day concept that there's a lot of noise and stuff going on. God's people have always sought quietude to hear God. More recently, there's a movement to centering prayer, a phrase or an image to quiet our minds. Maybe you recall last week as Pastor Shirley began our gathered prayer time, she did just that. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. This model of prayer in our time is shared by Father Thomas Keating, a priest and founder of this movement. He says this: silence is God's first language. Everything else is a poor translation. Silence is God's first language. I think about this every time I sit in nature and I'm ineffable about how I can describe what's going on around me. Every time I walk on sacred ground with one of you in a life event and I think, how can I describe how incredible God has been? Keating stands on the shoulders of mystics who have gone before him, inviting all of us into silence. It was Teresa Avila, 500 years previous, who said it's the prayer of quiet that we need to be called to. Not just the absence of external noise, but the presence of still and calm. Now, I have to admit, communal moments of silence do not always feel divinely inspired. They don't always feel full of insight and grace. In fact, we have phrases to describe this. We use the phrases pregnant pause and awkward silence. I even came across one tumbleweed moment. Often, instead of listening for God, we fill in the silence. Let me tell you how it's going. I'll just chatter away so there's no silence for us to listen to. We share and overshare, talk over one another. But I want to introduce you to a different phrase to reframe this. In the French, there's a phrase, un ange passe, which is to say an angel passes over. It's a French understanding that when there is silence in the gathered body, God's presence is right in the midst. Instead of an awkward silence, perhaps it's God's very presence moving among us, a blessing in the silence for those of us gathered. As I think about these wordless prayers, sometimes they sound idealistic for the perishing we find ourselves in. This is Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul, who describes that wordless prayer where only groaning is heard. The labor pains of creation, can you imagine, echoing the waiting and expectation of a coming, of a child, of excitement. And in silence, I don't know that there's a lot of silence in groaning labor pains, but in silence, reminded that the Holy Spirit is in the midst of that when we have no words left to say. For when we wish we might be eloquent and articulate, calm and peace-filled, and can only hear in our minds the woulda, coulda, shoulda that we ought to have done, our minds swinging like monkeys all over the place. We wait in silence for God to be known to us, not because God can't be known in the whirl and the swirl, but we might not notice God in the whirl and the swirl of life. We might begin to think it's our voice that we hear. Silence is the place where the Holy Spirit's voice becomes even more clear. The Holy Spirit who nudges and encourages you, who convicts you when you did things you shouldn't have done, and probably more often didn't do things when you should have done them. Silence in God's presence is the most fertile time. It's the point in the argument when you have no words left, and you still have frustration, and you still have anger, but you're exhausted with any accusations left to throw. You're worn out of screaming. No more venom to release. Then you're willing to hear that maybe you can't be the one to solve all of the world's problems, and maybe, just maybe, you can listen as a last resort to what God has in store. So this morning, I invite you to turn to God. Wait on the Lord even now. Let us have a moment, awkward as it might be, of silence. Now your to-do list and resistance and grocery shopping list might very well pop into your mind. Acknowledge it and move on. Let us listen together for the Lord. Loving God, who is never far from us, to you we pray. Let us know you more in our commitment to silence. Let us listen. Amen.